Good morning and welcome to our AA meeting on air on 104.6 Planet FM. My name is Anna, I'm an alcoholic and I'll be chairing the meeting this morning. Please welcome our speakers today, Dennis, Neil and Tim, who will be sharing their experience, strength and hope with you all. Would you all like to help me open the meeting with a serenity prayer? God grant me this serenity. To accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. The preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, political organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. And I would like to now introduce you to our first speaker, Dennis.
Thanks, Anna. My name's Dennis. I'm an alcoholic.
Dennis.
I got sober up in Hong Kong. I've been sober about 30 years now, and you probably wonder why I keep coming back to AA after 30 years, but my life has prospered since I've come to Alcoholics Anonymous. I grew up in New Zealand and got involved in drugs here and exited to Australia. That was my first, what we call geographic, trying to escape my problem, and ended up in Australia for a few years and still had a problem there. So then I headed up to Hong Kong, and my problem was I took me every time with my geographical changes, and of course nothing happened because it wasn't the environment that I was in or the relationships or the job or whatever. Really the problem was me. And so in Hong Kong, I kind of was doing okay in my life on the outside, but on the inside I was miserable, and I would drink daily, drink to excess, drink to blackout every night, and wake up the next morning and go, I'm not going to do that again. And every day I'd just repeat the same pattern over and over and over again. And a blackout, if you're an alcoholic, means you wake up and go, what on earth happened to the last few hours? Where have I been? And having to go back and check and find out what on earth you have done in your intoxication. And that's a horrible, scary feeling every morning to wake up and actually not know what you did after a certain point at the previous night or the previous day. So I got to a point where I was actually suicidal, and I was lucky enough to not go through with it in a sense and ask for help, and that was the big difference for me. I'd always really blamed everybody else and my circumstances for my drinking behavior. I knew my drinking was abnormal and unusual, but I just felt that was the only thing that kind of worked for me, that it was part of me. I kind of had reconciled myself to being an alcoholic, and that I was going to be the kind of person who drank every day. But when I went and asked for help, I found out that rather than being an unusual person all on my own, actually there was a lot of people like me out there. And in Hong Kong, I was introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't think I wanted to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. Didn't want to call myself an alcoholic. I really stumbled over those words at the beginning. You know, I'm Dennis. I've got a drinking problem. I'm Dennis. I'm not sure if I should really be here, but anyway, I'll come to your meeting anyway. I found Alcoholics Anonymous uncomfortable in those first few months, but after a month, I had to acknowledge that Alcoholics Anonymous was doing something for me that I'd never been able to achieve myself. I hadn't been sober for a week, let alone a month, since I was about 15. And so at the age of mid-40s, to be able to put together a month without drinking, there was something going on that was clearly different to anything that I'd done before. We have these things called the Steps in Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's a program of recovery. And after a couple of months, I think most people are always a bit suspicious when they come to their first Alcoholics Anonymous meeting and a bit skeptical, and I was a skeptic too. But after a couple of months, I got started on working through those steps, and I have subsequently worked right through them. And as a result, my life, I haven't had a drink since I came to my first Alcoholics Anonymous meeting more than 30 years ago. I've kept coming back because I'm very conscious that I still have that alcoholic tendency in my thinking, that I can left to my own devices for a week. If I don't go to a meeting and talk to another alcoholic, I start finding those old crazy thoughts coming back into my head. And the same uncomfortable feelings come back into my being, if you like. But when I go to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting and talk to another alcoholic, somehow I don't understand how it works, but I just feel better. I just feel better around alcoholics. They seem to understand me in a way that non-alcoholic people don't get me, and I live a really good, comfortable, worthwhile life now. It's kind of embarrassing sometimes to say how good my life is, but things go well, and I have my bad days, but they don't last long, and I certainly don't feel like drinking over them. But as an alcoholic, I'm conscious that there is always that risk that if I don't keep working at my program, having that connection with a higher power, which I also found through Alcoholics Anonymous, then I get off course fairly quickly. I like to do work with other alcoholics, and we call it service in Alcoholics Anonymous, but I work with other men now who have gone through the same kind of thing as me and are trying to work through the steps, and I help them with their program. That's what we call sponsorship. So I get a lot of meaning and value out of my life from doing that kind of work as well. I came back to New Zealand from living overseas. Alcoholics Anonymous is all around the world. It's a very much an international program, and we're lucky here in New Zealand to have a really strong fellowship of AA meetings all around New Zealand. So I do enjoy, again, going and meeting lots of different people in Alcoholics Anonymous. So I think I'll leave it there. Thanks very much, Anna, for asking me to speak.
Lovely. Thanks very much, Dennis.
Thanks, Dennis.
And now I'll introduce our next speaker, Neil.
Morena. My name's Neil, alcoholic.
Hi, Neil.
Neil.
My story begins in Taupo, where I was born, and my father was an alcoholic and gave my mother a hiding for the last time, and we left when I was about 8. And moved to Whangamata to Auckland when I was 11. And so I had at least an ideal background, including my stepfather. But I went through childhood with these memories and this anger in me. And so as I got older and I went to high school, I got introduced to marijuana and alcohol. It was fantastic, you know. It was because it made me forget. It made me feel good about myself. It numbed me from what was all that I was struggling with in the past. From there, I went on to do an apprenticeship, and while I was in that apprenticeship, I had to had a bit of an incident, and I had to go to court, and I was ordered by the courts to go to in a treatment centre called Wolf Home, which was in Point Chev. As a result of that, I learned about this alcohol and alcoholism, etc., slowly, but I didn't accept it, so I never finished the program, and for the next 10 years, I was in and out of the rooms, in and out of other institutions where you go to if you misbehave, and but I hadn't, I think the key for me was I hadn't accepted what I was, what everyone else seemed to know I was, and that was accepting that I was an alcoholic. That's the first thing. And I found in my experience, if I don't accept that I'm an alcoholic, then I'm continue to make the same mistakes of the past. So for me, it's a mind thing. It's I get sober in my mind. And sobriety begins in the mind, I should say. And so over those 2 years, I had that to look about that experience. And then when I finally accepted what I was, I then was able to surrender to the AA program, because over that 10 years, I had found and tried other avenues I thought would work, which obviously hadn't. So if I surrender myself to this program, okay, I'll go to the next treatment centre, which was Hamner Springs. As a result of Hamner Springs, I learned more about my addiction and about my why, etc. And from that day forth, I've been clean and sober to this day. I believe that I have not got here on my own. I got here because of the fellowship of AA. I got here because of my sponsor. I got here because of the people in the rooms who knew my journey and who were able to take me through it and persevere and tolerate with me from their own experience. And they knew better than I did about where I was going and the challenges I would have. So who better to have you to take you through that and give you hope was the people who have been there and done that before. As a result of coming out of Hamner Springs, I did this, and I was, my sponsor used to say, there's a saying, addiction thrives in isolation, but recovery lives in connection. And so that's a simple saying, perhaps, but for me, it's been a lifeline. You know, it's been a lifesaver. It's kept me attached, and the only time I want to go to meetings, only times I need to go to meetings is when I want to and when I don't want to. And these are little things that have kept me going and kept me in these rooms. And as Dennis just said earlier, he's done 30 years, and it's not a competition, but we're proud of where we've got to so far, because I just celebrated my 42 years last week. So, you know, does this program work? Yes, it does, but it does take work. It does take trying to believe in yourself and to trust in the people around you who have got that wisdom and experience, through experience. And to this day, I'm here because of those people. And because I said, accepted what I was, I surrendered to the program 100%. And I used to be a boxer, and I have a saying, AA isn't everything to me, it's the only thing. Because I have to put it at the top of my life, the most important thing in my life. As it says in the big book, you know, that we consume, put our lives into the program, we will live to be able to handle and cope with those the challenges and the trials that will come at us. Because just because you get clean and sober doesn't mean to say the world stops bringing, you know, trials and errors and challenges. It doesn't, but it just teaches me how to deal with them better, how to cope with them better. And when I can't, I reach out, and I'm not afraid to ask for help. I'm not afraid to ring my sponsor or other fellowship people in the rooms. And they've been and it's been a lifesaver. So it's taken me, and as Dennis said, you know, like it takes, he's been in these rooms for all this time, and why do we come to meetings? Because it works, because this is my lifeline, because it's my lifestyle. My lifestyle revolves around my alcoholism, not my alcoholism revolves around my lifestyle, you know. And so I've been blessed with that, this journey, although it's been never easy. My sister said to me, 2 years into the program, a few years into the program, she said, what's it like being sober? And I said, and I related to an incident I had when I had a horse and I fell into a gorse bush. I said, it's like being dragged through a gorse bush backwards with no clothes on. You know, there's a lot of pricks on there. you know, a lot of challenge, you know, a lot of hurt and pain, but you get through it, you know, and that's what the fellowship's about. It takes you through it. It gets you through it, you know, no matter what you're going through. And, you know, I've been blessed to find some beautiful friends in AA. You know, you don't have to be friendly with everyone. You don't have to be popular with everyone. The point is to be, pick your friends, pick your those people who are similar to you, and just stick with that group, you know. You know, what I've found most important too is that for the first time I was honest. I can be honest. I got so honest that people and friends would ask me questions when I got sober, and I used to think, do you really want to know the truth? Because I can't lie, you know. And people used to get upset because I'd tell them the truth, and it was like they didn't want to hear that. You know, but this is how committed I was to myself, to the program. And how did I learn that? I learned it through my sponsor. I learned it through the people in the rooms, you know, and the big book. Like it says, it's not rocket science. It's willingness, surrender, and also to be able to do whatever it takes to stay clean and sober one day at a time. You know, because it doesn't matter whether you're 30, 40, days, months, years, we all have the same threat that we could be one wed, one drink away from a drunk. You know, I'm one is too many and 1,000 is not enough. I don't want to ever go back to there. That's why I like my memory. I never want to be the other guy, that other person. I never want to go back to that carnage. And I've heard people say they have relapse. You know, that's why they go research. I say, I haven't had research, mate. I've had crisis management, you know, as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, I'm truly grateful to the rooms and being able to, as Dennis has been, and Tim, to share our experience, strength and hope. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Neil. And our last speaker today is Tim.
My name's Tim. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Tim.
I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous in Auckland. I've stayed sober since my first meeting, which I count myself very fortunate. I know that's not everybody's story, but I drank for 17 years from being a teenager. So I know in hindsight now the effect alcohol had on me and the grip it had over me. And AA's taught me about what my drinking was really like. Before I came to AA, I didn't really have a drinking story. I just had a whole lot of circumstances that were damaging to me, difficulty holding down jobs, disappointed friends and family. Those kind of things were in my face enough that I couldn't really deny them. But I didn't really understand my obsession with alcohol, that I would control and enjoy it, that my drinking was only a minor part of my life, and it wasn't affecting me. But when I came to AA, I realized that it was more serious than that, and I wasn't just going to be able to continue the way I was. So as I said, I was taken to a treatment center, but they introduced me to AA. They gave me a big book. They said, read this book. And they took me to a meeting the first night I was in rehab. So I've always associated my recovery with AA meetings and what I've heard from other members, like we've heard today. And I knew that they drank like me and they suffered like me. And I had a sense of camaraderie, acceptance, that I wasn't the only one who had this problem with alcohol, which it wasn't just heavy drinking. As I said, it was a mental obsession and a phenomena of craving. That idea of phenomena of craving explained to me the way I drank for so many years, where I'd just pick up a six-pack after work on a Tuesday night after work. I'd get through most of that and I'd go buy more from the supermarket, and then I'd be drunk enough that my inhibitions were lowered, and then I'd decide to go back to the supermarket or go to a bar, and I may end up drinking all night when just, you know, the previous day I was just going to have a few drinks. And I just sort of brushed those episodes off because it was uncontrolled drinking. And I kind of knew that once I had enough of a skinful of alcohol that I got out of control, but I just thought I must have changed my mind. And a lot of us say that. We have a lot of similarities in AA when we, what we tell ourselves about our drinking, to give ourselves a plausible excuse about why we did what we did and how much money we spent, where we went, who we drank with, all our damaging conduct, the trouble we got into, that I could easily brush that off. But when I came to AA, I knew that you guys understood the drinking game as well, and I didn't have to kid myself about alcohol anymore. And that actually turned out to be a huge relief for me, because deep down in my soul, I knew that I was out of control. And AA offered me a solution for that. And it's based on the 12 steps, also regular attending of AA meetings, becoming involved, helping the group function. And there's no dues or fees in AA. So we're totally self-supporting, which I like. It keeps the fellowship very simple and approachable for new people. And there's no rules on AA. But the problem is that if I'm not prepared to do what I need to do to stay sober, as an alcoholic, I will drink again. Because I learned that I had no mental defense against the first drink. And I'm still an alcoholic. If I don't pick up the first drink, I can't get drunk. It wasn't the sixth beer that got me into trouble. It was actually the first one. 2 days off the booze, I'd feel better about myself. I'd suppress the humiliation my drinking caused me. And then I'd pick up the alcohol like it was ginger ale, setting that cycle of uncontrolled drinking back into motion. So that's where I was trapped, really. And I wasn't just going to stop drinking on my own resources, my own self-will, even my own rational concern about being able to hold down a job, save money. All that stuff didn't have sufficient force to come into my mind and deter me from picking up that first drink. So I was always destined to just pick up that first drink thinking it was going to be different this time. And that kind of thinking, I learned, is very characteristic of an alcoholic. And it's something that almost all alcoholics share, that one day, you know, one day I'll control things. I'm just going through a phase with my alcohol. Even when it gets really, really bad, I can still kid myself that it'll change. So since I've been sober, I've found a different way of living, which on the outside may not look entirely different, but on the inside, my own feelings, my own attitudes, outlook on life, my ability to cooperate with other people, all those things have improved since I've been sober.
Okay, no, that's great. Thank you very much, Tim. We'll leave it there today. That is all the time we have. And thank you again to Dennis, Neil and Tim for joining us in the studio today, and to all of you for listening. We are on air each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. here on 104.6 Planet FM. If you or anyone you know is in need of help from AA, please either call on 0800 AA Works. That's 0800 229 6757, 0800 229 6757, or visit the AA website www.aa.org.nz, where you can find a raft of information. And finally, you can find today's recording and others on the Planet FM website www.planetaudio.org.nz under the program name AA On Air. And finally, can you join me now in closing this meeting with the Serenity Prayer?
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Dennis, Neil and Tim, who will be sharing their experience, strength and hope with you all. Would you all like to help me open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change,
courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, political organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
Never miss your favourite shows again. Click onto planetaudio.org.nz.
Auckland is moving to zero waste by 2040. There are lots of easy ways you can help reduce your rubbish and recycle right. Make sure your recycling is clean and has no food waste in it. Find out more at makethemostofwaste.co.nz. Together, we can protect the land and waste nothing.
The Sports Weekender features interviews with sports people and commentators, local and national sports updates, and a roundup of the latest from the world of sports. I'm your host, Piggy. You can join me for 2 hours every Saturday from 9:40 a.m. on Planet 104.6 FM or listen online on planetaudio.org.nz/sportsweekender.
Hello, kia ora my friend, I'm Susie Cato, inviting you to join me for New Zealand's favourite kids show on Planet FM. It's called Susie and Friends, and there's songs, stories and prizes, jokes, reviews, birthdays and shout-outs. And kids just like you. Go to susie.co.nz for more information. I'd love you to be a friend. Just listen to the radio Sunday afternoons at 3:15 for Susie and Friends on Planet FM 104.6. Susie and
Friends. This is 104.6 Planet FM. Join AA Meeting on Air next Sunday morning at 10:45. And if you'd like to listen to this program again, go to our website, planetaudio.org.nz/AA Meeting on Air. All one word.
Got your mind set on leaving down a one-way street. You might want to come back, but the grass ain't no greener on the other side of the track. Hey, you counted me out before I got to bat. Well, today I'm driving a Chevrolet, tomorrow might be driving a Cadillac. But don't burn down the bridge, 'cause you might want to come back. Because you know the grass ain't no greener on the other side of the track. Yeah. Better hear me. Don't you have to cheat and lie? But now it seems like you're gonna jump from the frying pan to the fire. Oh, but don't burn down the bridge, darling, 'cause you might wanna come back. 'Cause you know the grass ain't no greener on the other side of the track.